Open your Bibles, please, as we begin our New Testament reading to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone, into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even to Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, Every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So we have quite a chapter here with a lot of information. Some of us, maybe certain times in our past, would be saying, hey, the time of the year is all wrong to be reading this passage, right? We might be saying that, or we might be thinking that. But let's remember also that the time of year that Christmas is normally celebrated is the wrong time of year as well. It's very certain that our Lord was not born on the 25th of December. He was born sometime in the spring when the shepherds would have been abiding with their flocks out in the fields during lambing time. So that's when Christ was most likely born. All right, so notice in this first section we have the assertion of right by a civil magistrate. He's going to tax everyone. And taxes are not illegal or unlawful according to the law of God. Remember, there's no free lunch. We get services from our civil magistrates that we ought to pay for. Taxes are not bad. Excessive taxes, and we can argue whether or not we're under excessive taxation now or not. I think all of us know the answer to that question, but that's not the point, is it? Taxes are payments for services rendered, and there is no free lunch. So this is important. And so Cyrenius is governor of Syria at this time. Some Bibles translate that Quirinius instead, with a Q instead of a C. It's not really that important. Caesar Augustus has said that all the world should be taxed. That is all of his domain, which was all of the known world at that time. So that's pretty much true. And so notice what he believes he's doing. He believes that he's asserting his authority over all the world. Actually, what he's doing is he is making a tax that draws Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem to be registered there, because that was Joseph's hometown, so that we might fulfill the prophecy of Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou art the least among the cities of Judah, there shall come forth one out of thee, who shall be whose goings forth are of old, of everlasting. And so when Herod, we've already read in the accounts in Matthew and Mark, that when he inquired where Christ should be born, the answer always came back from the scripture scholars of his day, from Bethlehem, because they knew Micah 5:2. And so Quirinius then, or Cyrenius, the governor of Syria, and then Augustus, and then Herod, and the other rulers of that day, they believe that they have authority to exercise, and they're pressing that authority. But we understand, don't we, that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and that as the rivers of water, he turns it whithersoever he will. So, notice also that they made the trip while Mary was, quote, great with child. Often there are, you know, pictures and paintings drawn of such things, and we see Mary on a donkey, and we see Joseph walking, you know, leading that donkey. I don't see any mention of a donkey here. These are the things that simply creep in to our understanding from extra biblical ideas, and we want to expunge those ideas from our own thinking when we think about the scripture. She may have been on an animal, you know, a beast of burden. I don't know. It says she was great with child. I would think that once they got to Bethlehem, having traveled that far, being great with child, that may have been an assist to her going into labor, perhaps. At any rate, notice that she, as a good wife, travels with her husband where they need to go. So there's all kinds of good example. Joseph himself, he doesn't rebel against the civil magistrate's right for taxation. Mary doesn't rebel against her husband. They're all behaving themselves as law keepers. Now, we would expect that because of the rest of the chapter. We see that they celebrated the Passover. They came with their offering for Christ's circumcision. Two turtle doves, right? He was their firstborn. Remember what the law had said, that the firstborn son, God says, that's mine. Of all of your families, the firstborn belongs to me, so you will redeem him. And you will redeem him with a ram, or if you're poor, you can redeem him with two turtle doves. And so that's what we see. So we see that Joseph and Mary are, can I put it this way? It's kind of a bad word today, but it's really not. Dutiful. They're very dutiful in what they do. Very purposeful. They are obeying. They are working along those lines of God's appointment. And we want to commend them in that. All right, so then it would be remiss to pass by without mentioning that our Lord Jesus Christ was born in a stable, in a barn. There was no room for him in the affections of his people. He came to his own and they received him not. And this is emblematic then, in the hometown of his father, there was no place for them to stay either. And when I say his father, I mean Joseph, his earthly father. Obviously, Jesus Christ had a heavenly father, and Mary she conceived as a virgin. We want to make sure that we make that clear, because many are denying that today. Okay, so with all of that then, we see that Jesus was born, as our larger catechism puts it, with circumstances of more than ordinary abasement. Right? And so when our Lord Jesus Christ came as a man to earth, he came not with the pomp and the splendor of a king, although he was God-man. He came truly into a very low estate, made of a woman of low estate, a family of low estate. They had only two turtle doves to offer for the redemption. So We see then that our Lord Jesus Christ in his coming, while we might expect him to come as a great king, because that's exactly what he is, he comes in that kingship, in that regnal authority, and yet he identifies with the lowest of humanity. And if he identifies with the lowest of humanity, then he also identifies with the highest. From one end to the other, he is a complete savior. That takes us to verse 8 then. And now we see the annunciation of the angels and the shepherds. First of all, the shepherds are abiding in their fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. We've already said that was probably the springtime when those ewes would be lambing. And then here comes the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they, like any would be, they were terrified. They were sore afraid, as the Authorized Version puts it. Terrified is a good translation there. But notice they were told not to fear, and then we have the annunciation of the Savior in the city of David, that is Bethlehem, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Keep in mind that that is a divine title. Christ the Lord. The angel of the Lord is saying the one that is born is, yes, a man, the son of David, but he is also the Messiah who is God. And that Messiah would be God was already proclaimed in that prophecy that we've quoted, Micah chapter 5, verse 2, because his goings forth are ad olam, from everlasting. He is eternal. Not just everlasting, but from everlasting. That is eternal. Everlasting backward. That means he's God. All right, so then this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Imagine how jarring that would have been. This is the son of David in the city of David. This is the Messiah come who is Christ God himself, Christ the Lord. And we're going to find him in a manger, laying in a hay crib. But that's where you will find him, and that will be the sign that you have the right child. I mean, there were probably not many babies laying in mangers that night. So then there was with the angel of the Lord, a multitude of the heavenly host, and they were praising God and speaking of his glory. And the shepherds then, they go to Bethlehem and see what things they were told. And so they do. And they go and they find Mary and Joseph, and they relate all that has happened. And then they go abroad and they publish the news of that child wherever they go. Of course, this is a great example that they would go and speak of the great things that God has spoken to them about. All right, so notice verse 19, and we'll see this again in verse 51. Mary is a contemplative woman. She's a meditative woman. She takes these things, these miraculous, wonderful things, and she ponders them up in her heart. And what a good example that is to us. What a great example that is to us of stopping to think and to meditate upon the great things of God. I had the opportunity to do at least a little bit of that this week. Not that I'm an example like Mary would be. However, since we are in Westminster Confession of Faith 2:2, speaking of God's attributes, I went back and reviewed this week my own memory work in the larger catechism, question 7, what is God? It's these kinds of things, these kinds of opportunities that we must take to drive our thinking toward the Lord, that he would be pleased to strengthen our understanding, help us to attend upon him without distraction, and so on. Mary, it seems, governed her mind. This is a good example for us. All right, so now they bring Jesus to be circumcised. He is named Jesus, which is a Hebrew name meaning that Jehovah saves. It's the Hebrew name Yehoshua, Joshua. The Greek name is Jesus. The Latin name, very similar to the Greek name. In English, we say G-E-E-Z-U-Z, Jesus. That's how we pronounce it in English, It's all the same. It's the same name. In Spanish, Jesus, and so on. So when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Notice, law keepers. How many days was that? Any of you remember? 40 days. After 40 days of having a male child, 80 days having a female child. So after 40 days, she and Joseph bring him to present him before the Lord. Every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And so to offer that sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, but also a kid of the goats or a ram, depending on the wealth of the family. That was the least offering that could be brought. And now we hear about Simeon and Anna, further annunciation concerning Christ. Simeon is an old man, and Anna is an old woman, both of them well experienced in the things of God. Anna, the prophetess, she's called a prophetess because she attended there at the temple and prayed and fasted, perhaps had something to do with the singing that went on there. Simeon is not said to be of any particular office, but an old, experienced believer in the Lord and also a man full of the Holy Ghost. And so the things that he says are amazing. He speaks to Mary. He speaks back to the Lord. Now let us thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, because he waited for the consolation of Israel. That is, for the Messiah. And then also we see him turning to Mary and telling her about the great things of Christ, that he would be a light to the Gentiles and to the Jews, and also that he would be set for the falling and rising again of many in Jerusalem. That is, that there would be those who would indeed fall upon that stone, right? Those who would be broken of themselves, and yet they would be lifted up afterwards. So this falling and rising again, I believe, is a part of that understanding where we have our dying to self and dying to sin and walking with Christ in newness of life. And there were many that needed that in Jerusalem. There were, I also believe that the bulk of that Jewish church of that day were unconverted. And then he tells Mary that a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts shall be revealed. And then Anna the prophetess, the same thing. And also she spoke to them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Verse 39, notice again, when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, then they returned not to Bethlehem, but to their own city, Nazareth. And finally, then we have one more instance of law keeping with regard to Mary and Joseph, that they came every year for the Passover. This is now Jesus's 12th year. And so Jesus himself would be considered traditionally by Jews to be a bar mitzvah, right? A son of the commandment. And so he takes up this office himself and is in the temple speaking with the doctors, the teachers of the day, and they are astonished at his understanding. Let me say this. This is not magical stuff. Mary and Joseph catechized their son. Now, I don't know if they had a catechism like we have, but they had worship in their home. They had scripture, if they didn't have a copy of the scripture in their home, which would have been rare in that day. They had him in the synagogue every Lord's Day so that he would hear and would memorize the word of God. Jesus was a man of the book, even as a young man of 12. And so when he sat with those doctors, it wasn't a magical thing that he was able to sit with them and run with them in their greater discussions. It wasn't magical. It wasn't simply, poof, here's some knowledge for you. It was something that he learned, because notice what Luke is careful to do. He talks of Christ growing in stature and in favor with God and with men. Remember that Jesus Christ came as a man, and as a man he learned. And so he learned all of those things, and he learned them through ordinary means. Children, this is a great example for you. Make sure that you are staying very close and very tight to all of the lessons, all of the discussions, all of those things that you have in your homes, the things you hear at church. If you have questions, you get them answered and so on, because it is those same kinds of ordinary means that the Lord will raise you up faithfully as well. All right, so obviously there was some mix up about who was watching Jesus, and so they left and started for home. These are, by the way, significant distances that we're talking about here. This is not just walking across town, okay? This is from Nazareth to Jerusalem, from Galilee to Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem in Judah, from Nazareth in Galilee to Jerusalem in Judah. These are long distances, several days' journey, right? Now notice that they found Christ after 3 days. His parents must have been frantic. God gave us one thing to do, raise the Son of God, and we've messed it up, right? And so they're frantic, and they come to Christ, and finally they say, "Why did you do that to us?" Well, I don't think he did anything to them, but you know, they were a bit self-focused, and Christ brings them back to reality. "Did you not know I would be about my Father's business?" Right? So let us then be about our Father's business as well. All right, so then in verse 51, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them." Remember, just a few weeks back in our series on parenting, we were talking about our Lord Jesus Christ being subject to his parents, and we use that as an example for all children to be subject to their parents. If Jesus was subject to his parents, so children, you can be to your parents as well. Here's the perfect, infallible, non-sinning Son of God submitting to parents that are tainted with the sin of Adam. This helps us to understand the level of Christ's obedience, doesn't it? And what ours ought to be then. His mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And then 52, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. Well, it's a long chapter, and I felt like I've left a lot on the table, but we are past time. So let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.